morning I would like to talk to you, first of all, concerning the soul of man. Is there more to man than what he can see? Does man have a soul, a spirit that is invisible to the human eye? Or is man simply as the animals are? The materialist says that when man dies, he is just like old dog Rover. You know, he's dead all over. But what does the Bible say? I would like to affirm that the Bible teaches that the soul of man is not just a principle of life or a breath, but moreover an entity which dwells within the physical body and leaves it upon physical death. There are two terms we'll look at concerning the soul of man. Soul, from psuche, denotes the breath of life, then the soul, the immaterial, invisible part of man. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus clearly said, "Do not be afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The soul, the disembodied or unclothed or naked man, is spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4. And there Paul is saying under inspiration, "For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For indeed we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that which is immortal may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit." And so as we look at these passages, we see that the soul, as an essence, which differs from the physical body that we see with our eyes, and it is not dissolved by death, as Thayer points out. The other word is spirit, pneuma, primarily denoting the wind and also breath, and then especially the spirit, which, like the wind, is invisible, immaterial, and powerful. The immaterial, invisible part of man. In James chapter 2 and verse 26, we see this principle very clearly when the inspired writer says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead." We find then that man was created in the image of God, and so let's look at that principle back in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Yes, we find that we are created in God's image, but what is God's image? In John chapter 4 and verse 24, we're told that God is a spirit. And so Jesus says in Luke 24 and verse 39, "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones." We find that the spirit of man returns to God then upon physical death. If we go to the book of Ecclesiastes and we look at some principles seen there, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. And there we find this truth. It says there, "And the dust returneth to the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth unto God who gave it." In Acts 7 and verse 59, as Stephen was being stoned to death for standing up for Jesus Christ being the Messiah, the Son of God, it says that he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." In fact, in Luke 23 and verse 46, Jesus, while he was dying upon the cross, made this statement, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And so we need to ask ourselves, do we believe as the inspired Word of God teaches concerning our soul? There are passages that we can look at that affirm what we've already seen here. Passages like Job chapter 32 and verse 8, where we find, "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty giveth them understanding." Or in the book of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15, "As for me, Daniel, my spirit was grieved in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me." Or in Matthew chapter 22, looking at verses 31 and 32, we find this statement, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." So we find that man does have both an outward and an inward nature. Over in the 2 Corinthian letter, we look at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, where it says, "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." And so we find many passages that we see that we are not just fleshly, physical body, but we have a spirit that will not be dissolved upon physical death. We need to realize the great importance then of this, and that it is so very important that we're here, that we've been created to do the will of God, and that we're going to answer to God, and that we are not going to cease to exist when we die. And so in the book of Ecclesiastes again, this time the last two verses in the book, and there it says, "This is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Do we have this godly fear? Do we fear God as we're told to, that we might do his will and be ready to meet him in that great day? We find in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, looking at chapter 12 of that book and verses 4 and 5, where there we're told by the inspired writer, that "I say unto you, my friends," as Jesus is speaking, "do not be afraid of them that kill the body, and after they have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Our souls, dear friend, will answer to God in the last day. In 2 Corinthians, as we turn there, the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and looking at verse 10, it says there, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Which will it be, dear friend, when we are standing before the judgment throne of God? What will happen? It all depends upon how we live on this earth. We see in Matthew chapter 25 that account by Jesus of that judgment day. And we look down at verse 46, the last part of that discussion. It says, "These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And so our Creator warns us and shows us the way, that there is either eternal punishment facing us or eternal life. And we would bid you think on these things. We also, again, want to remind you that you are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, located just northwest of the new shopping area in the North Belt Highway. We invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:20 a.m. for morning worship, and 4 p.m. for afternoon worship. We also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. If you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail, or if you would like to have a home Bible study concerning what we have been speaking about this morning or any Bible subject, please leave your name and phone number at our phone, which is area code 816-279-4737. That's 816-279-4737, and we will return your call. Next, I'd like to look with you concerning where the soul of man goes upon physical death. This place, as the Bible puts forth to us, is called Hades. We learned just a few moments ago that there is a soul of man, there is a spirit that continues to exist after physical death. In other words, a continued state of consciousness does exist, contrary to what many people would have us to believe today. We turn to Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 through 30, which Jesus shows us what happens basically upon death of every individual. And so this is our text for the rest of our discussion this morning. In Luke chapter 19 and beginning at verse 31, Luke 16, beginning at verse 19 and going through verse 31, we want to look at that. Here we find Jesus warning the Pharisees, who he's focusing on those who were lovers of money. He's telling them of the real consequences in the state after death of those who use life's opportunities and possessions wrongly. And so let's read that at this time. I'm reading from the American Standard Version. Luke 16:19, beginning. Now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at the gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham saith, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. We look at this word Hades, which we find in the New Testament, that Jesus taught concerning, and we've just read in Luke 16:19 through 31. We find that this is the common receptacle of disembodied spirits. This is the intermediate state between death and the resurrection. Now some say, oh, this is not really true, this is just a parable. Well, they would have Jesus making up a story, which Jesus never did. And even if it was a parable, it would still be correct. Jesus always based his lessons on reality. He never made up things or told a lie. This is something that can or does happen. Also notice that there are two compartments that are separated by a fixed gulf. And this fixed gulf cannot be crossed. Now, one compartment is referred to as Abraham's bosom. It's a favorite place, a place of comfort, also called paradise. Now, this is where Jesus went upon death on the cross. If we look at Luke 23 and verse 43 of Luke 23, we find this rendering. There, as he's talking about the thief on the cross, that seeing what was happening to Jesus, came to the conclusion that this was actually the Messiah that was hanging next to him. And he asked him in verse 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise." And so we see that Jesus, when he died, he didn't go to hell as many teach. He went to this place called paradise, which was in this place called Hades. So he went to paradise, and we see that here very clearly. In the second chapter of Acts, the Apostle Peter talks about this in Acts 2, verses 27, 31, and 32, that David foretold that his soul was not left in Hades. His body didn't see corruption. His soul was not left in Hades. But he wasn't in torments. He was in paradise. The other location that we read about from our text of Luke 16 here is this place of torment. We find the term flame, much anguish, and this place cannot be changed, and you cannot escape this place, and it is too late. Well, let's look very quickly at a few of the rich man's mistakes. First of all, we find that the rich man served mammon instead of God. He was a lover of money. And of course, we are warned in many places in God's inspired word not to be involved in serving ourselves and going after the lust that money can buy and the things upon this earth. Look at Matthew chapter 6, and looking at verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, or he will either hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. We can't do both. So let's go on down and read verses, or back and read verses 19 through 21 of Matthew 6. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consumes, and where the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so this is a principle we need to understand. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at verses 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Listen to these inspired words to us. It says there, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And so here we're told very clearly that we cannot have as our guiding force the lust of the world to love money and what it will do for us. Notice it doesn't say money is the root of all evil, which many people have been led to believe, but the text says the love of money. We can use money to do good things, and that's fine. But when we use money for our own ends, our own desires, and we put money in what it will give us above God, then we have a problem, and we can't please our Creator. We have to put God's will above everything else. And so look at verses 11 and 12, as the inspired writer Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou wast called, and didst confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. Next, we find that it did not take thought nor preparation for life beyond physical death. In other words, the rich man lived in mirth and splendor every day. He was having a good time. He was doing what he wanted to do in this life, pleasing himself, and he still died. He still was responsible for what he did. He was concerned only with pleasing himself while he was upon this earth. And that's the terrible problem that we have of, instead of being lovers of God, we tend to be lovers of pleasures and lovers of self. In the book of Luke, and looking at verse 9, and chapter 9 and verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want you to notice that it says that we have to deny ourselves, and that involves turning away from anything that would come between us and serving our Creator. We have to deny ourselves, but not only deny ourselves, but we have to take up our cross, and it's daily. I want you to notice that there. Many people overlook in Luke 9:23. If we're going to come after Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross daily, and then we have to follow Jesus. So what are your main interests in life, dear listener? Do you realize the possibility of leaving this physical life at any time? I mean, we see people around us that are murdered. They are involved in car accidents. They have terrible diseases afflict them. And, you know, we should have warning signals going up that, you know, that could happen to us. Are we prepared to die? Are we ready to leave this life according to what God teaches in His Word? Let's go to James chapter 4 and look at verses 13 and 14. That's James chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. There it says, come now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For you are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. Yes, we have to understand that we could leave this life at any time. And when we die, according to the inspired Word of God, we're going to end up in Hades, either in that place of paradise, Abraham's bosom, or the place of torments. Let's then ask this question. We see that this rich man was a child of God under the law of Moses, and he wasn't doing God's law. He did not obey God's law, even though he was a Jew under the law of Moses at that time. He wasn't following God's law. He should have been. He should have been helping Lazarus. He should have been doing good. He shouldn't have been selfish. He should have been sharing what God had allowed him to have in this life, but he didn't do that. What about us today? In James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, we read this. James 4, 13 and 4, or we just read that. I'm sorry, I'm looking for James 1, 21 through 25. Let's read James 1, 21 through 25. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if any one is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. And so we find here in these passages that we have to apply the Word of God to our lives. We can't just listen to it. If you're listening to this radio program this morning, dear friend, you can't just listen to it and say, you know, that's right, he just read the Scriptures, and then not do anything about it. We encourage you to take action, to do God's will. Actually, you are responsible to do God's will, and you can't have your soul purified in God's way. You can't even be accepted by him if you don't do his will, because it says in many passages, including this one I'll read now, 1 Peter 1:22, very clearly warning us and telling us the truth. And there it says, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. And then it goes on and talks about being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which liveth and abideth. So we find that we must respond to the word of God. We must obey it. We must become children of God by responding to his truths. And we would encourage you to study your Bibles and to seek to do what is right in the sight of God. God tells us what we must do in order to become Christians. We have to believe the gospel. These things that I've been reading to you and talking to you about this morning, we have to accept them as the truth. They've come from the inspired word of God. We have to do them if we want to be children of God. But first, we have to obey the gospel to become children of God. That means we have to accept the truth that we find in his inspired word for us today, which is the New Testament. We have to repent of our sins. If we don't repent of our sins, then we can't be saved. But we also have to confess Christ before men. If we don't confess Christ, then he's not going to confess us. And then we have to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, as the New Testament teaches. And as we talk to you more in the future on this program, we'll discuss that in more in-depth. But we would encourage you study your Bible and you read it and accept only what the inspired apostles and prophets taught in the New Testament for us today, and don't accept anything else. Again, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri, and located just northwest of the new shopping area in the North Belt Highway. We would again invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings, 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, and 10:20 for morning worship, and 4 p.m. for afternoon worship. And also, we meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Please come, bring your Bibles, and question everything we teach and practice religiously, for we must speak as the oracles of God, as we've been told in his inspired word. We again appreciate you tuning in, and we will again, Lord willing, come to you and present some more Bible truths through Bible Talk, that we might glorify God in seeking to be true worshipers, as we read about in John 4:23-24. Again, we encourage you to seek the truth, to do only as God would have you to do, and as he's told us in many places in his inspired word, do not add to or take away from his word, but speak only as his oracles, not go beyond the things which are written, but to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. We hope you have a good day, and we hope that you will be searching for the truth, and we pray that you will do that. God bless you in your search for his truth above all else. And as we all seek to be true worshipers and please God, we need to understand that all praise and all glory should be going to God, not to man, not to anyone upon this earth, but only to our Creator, who has given us all that we have and sent his Son to die for us. Thank you, and have a nice day.